If I only knew then what I know now, I would have made a lot of different choices. But God, in His mercy, God is gracious, God is patient, He's long-suffering. As we said before, God speaks, He speaks softly, He speaks gently, and He speaks a little louder, and a little louder. And if we're not listening, even a little bit louder than that. Amen. And wow, He's a roaring lion. Hallelujah. He's jealous over us with a godly jealousy. He doesn't want His bride, He doesn't want His people giving themselves to any others. Amen. Any other lovers, no other gods. And I thank God for His discipline in my life. How about you? You know, sometimes I said this before, but sometimes you have to feel bad before you can feel good. How many know that all discipline is not pleasant at the time, but later we can appreciate what the Lord has allowed in our lives to get us to where He needs us to be, right? Where He wants us to be, too. Because He really wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed. Because He really does love you. He loves us. He wants to bless your life way, way, way beyond what we can just imagine, even, you know, as we just look around us at the temporary life, the temporary world, the stuff, you know. And how many have discovered that stuff is just stuff? Stuff doesn't satisfy you. It's only as long as maybe, I don't know, the first week or two, and then it's like, now what? I need some new stuff. It's short-lived, isn't it? This world, the things of this world. But God's joy is an inexpressible joy. It's, wow. How can you explain? All you have to do is open your heart and allow Him in. Allow Him in. He knocks and He says, do you know He's knocking on the door of the church, right? The Laodicean church. Not unbelievers, but believers that had shut Him out. Because they had gone after other lovers. They had become worldly. They've gone after the temporary things. And God loves His people. And I don't know about you, but I've strayed myself a few times. How about you? Yeah, I'm going to be honest tonight and say, yeah, I've had weak moments. I've fallen. I've stumbled. I haven't forsaken the Lord, but I've made my share of mistakes, even as a believer. Aren't you glad that God is there and He's there to forgive and restore? And He can even make the devil pay back what he stole from you. Sevenfold or more. Amen. We need to pray, Lord, I need justice against my adversary that has been trying to steal and rob, amen, to destroy me and my family and even our nation. How many know that America is being robbed right now? We start out walking with the Lord in the very beginning, and yet now look what we have. Look what we're left with. But you know what? The cool thing is this, is that if there's an ember, if there's just a little ember left, all it needs is the breath of God. Whew. Amen? It's not a long, drawn-out process. You don't have to crawl miles on your knees. Amen? You don't have to whip yourself as some people do and try to pay for their own sins. It's a matter of just turning your heart back to your Father. And if there's a smoking flax, amen, God's breath will... And in a moment, whoa, you can light back up again. How many have experienced that? Feel like you're about ready to die and dry up and wither and be blown away. And God just goes, whoa, and just like fans you right back into flame again. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He is a life-giving spirit. And He wants us to be lit up for Him because He wants the world to see Him through us. We are His representatives. Hallelujah. Join with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I acknowledge that apart from you, I can do nothing. But Lord, here we are. We are your vessels. We are your people. And we're asking for your help, your grace right now, that you'll give us a fresh, Lord, download from heaven, fresh manna, fresh fire, fresh anointing tonight, Father God. We just pray that you'll feed us, you'll nourish and strengthen and encourage and build your people, that we might run this race with endurance as we fix our eyes upon you, Lord, the author and finisher of our faith. We're looking for you, Jesus. And we know very soon, we are going to see the King. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. For our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Amen. Thank you, Father. God bless you. And Luke chapter 7 tonight. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Hallelujah, Jesus, we praise your name. Hallelujah. I don't know, it's very rare anymore that you hear anybody use this term, but we used to use the term, pardon me, you know, when you bumped into somebody or cut them off or whatever, you would say, pardon me, you know, out of politeness. And it seems like politeness is being lost in our society today, but we use words sometimes without really understanding what they mean. So pardon is something that it's really God's grace. You know, it's speaking about God really not giving us what we deserved. It's the excusing of an offense without exacting a penalty. It's excusing an offense without exacting a penalty. In other words, we don't get what we really deserve when God pardons us. I don't know about you, but I need God's grace. I need his mercy. I need him to forgive me. I need his pardon. And in this story, we're going to look at two different people here. One being a religious leader, the Pharisee, and one being a sinner from the city. And in verse 36 of chapter 7 of Luke, then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had been invited saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say on. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which one of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He says your what? Faith has saved you. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Do I really love Jesus? What proof is there in your life that you love Jesus? Before a person can receive pardon, there first must be a realization of the need for pardon. God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who convicts us, who reveals to us our need of God's mercy. This woman who was a sinner, possibly a prostitute. Some say it might possibly be Mary Magdalene, but there's really weak evidence scripturally for that. Whoever she was, she definitely lived a sinful life. And yet the man, also the Pharisee that sat with Jesus, you know, he was sitting in the chief seat with the man. He compared himself to this woman. He did not realize that he also was in need of God's grace, of his mercy. How many know that it's a good thing when you become aware of your true self? When you become aware of your sinfulness? We know it's God's mercy that he would reveal to us the fact that we're lost and in need of his grace. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. We talked about Zacchaeus this morning. And Zacchaeus was desperate to get a look at Jesus. He was desperate because he knew that in his situation there was nothing he could do to redeem himself, to save himself. He came to a realization that possibly if I can just get a hold of Jesus, if I can just get to him, that I might receive mercy. And so this woman who had an awareness of her sinfulness came in to his presence. Now, you have to understand something, that if a person chooses not to approach God, there is no hope for them. Only in his presence is there life. We must be in Christ to have life. If you're not in Christ, you have no life. You have soul life, you have biological life, but you have no spiritual life. And without spiritual life, you will not live forever. We must be born of the Spirit, born again. We must be possessed by Christ. We must be in him, and he must be in us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals to us our true condition, that we are lost and in need of God's grace, of his mercy. If we are aware that there is a problem in my life, that I am separated from God, if I'm aware that, you know, through guilt or through shame that I have sinned, I have done some things that I'm not proud of, I've done some things in my life that I'm ashamed of, I've done some things that bother me. Are you hearing me? And I need somehow to get that monkey off my back. I need to get that junk out of my... I want to be free from guilt. I want to be free from fear. I want to be free from shame. I want to have confidence to approach God. I want to have confidence to know that when I see Jesus in that day, he's not going to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." But when I see Jesus in that day, he's going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. I know who you are. Enter into the joy of your Lord prepared for you." The Pharisee sat within himself and he compared himself and he thought, "Yeah, but I'm not so bad as this sinful woman here." He was self-righteous. And because of that self-righteous attitude, he could not find mercy because he was not aware of his need of God's grace and mercy in his life. So we have to, first of all, we have to come to an awareness, and people have to be brought to a place where they realize that they are lost and that they are not going to heaven just because they're so good. See, the Pharisee could have judged himself and says, "Well, I'm a good guy. I've lived by the commandments. I'm nice to my neighbor. I'm good to people. You know, I do good deeds, and certainly God will like me more and let me go to heaven someday." Are you hearing me? The problem is that if we have sinned in any area at all in our lives, if we have broken even one of the commandments of God, that makes us guilty before God. That means that we are not going to be in heaven unless that sin is dealt with. And that's what Jesus did at the cross. He went to the cross to deal with the sin problem so that when we fail, we can come to Him, we can confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This woman was aware of her sinfulness, and because of the pardon and the great mercy that she experienced in the great love of God that was demonstrated to her in Jesus, she loved on the Lord. And the Lord said, to whom much is forgiven, the same loves much. You will love Jesus when you have received God's pardon in your life. When you are truly pardoned, it will produce in you a love of devotion towards Him, to where now I want to give my life to Him. I want to serve Him because I've been forgiven. I've been let off the hook. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. God wants His people to be free. Jesus said in John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And He says, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. You see, this woman understood she was a sinner. She knew she was in darkness, but she also realized that the only hope she had was to turn to the light. She had to turn to the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the true light that shines, amen, in the darkness. And she had to come into the light. She had to come into His presence. And His presence was the place where she was going to find pardon. Jesus said, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Those who are operating in reality realize that He is the truth. Amen? That He is the way. That He is the life. Truth is what's real. It's what's really real. When we come to a knowledge of the truth, we realize that Jesus is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. We realize that He is the only hope, the only salvation. When we come to the truth, we're willing to come into the light because He is the truth. Listen to this. Love is the proof of pardon. Pardon is the proof of love. Love is the proof of pardon. Pardon is the proof of love. It was clear, you know, that the result of true pardon was love for Jesus here. That's what we see. She brought her best. She brought this very expensive perfume. Could have been possibly a year's wage. And she wasted it all on Jesus, as some might say. It wasn't a waste. Whatever you give to Jesus, when you have received pardon, when you receive mercy, and you want to give back to God. Are you hearing me? When we have been, amen, released from the prison of sin, we can go free, what? To serve the Lord. Not to go back and do the same thing we used to do. But now we're free to do what? To serve Him for the rest of our lives. We've been pardoned to serve. God calls every one of us to His service. What was the gift about? The gift was her gratitude for the Lord, for His mercy. It was gratitude to the Lord. See, again, Simon didn't realize the depths of his own sin. And he thought he was closer to God because he was such a nice guy, when actually he was farther. Has anybody ever been stung by self-righteous people before? Who looked down their nose at you and they just thought they were so good and you were so rotten. See, that's what Jesus was doing here. He was messing with this guy here. He was saying, listen, Simon, you sit here in your self-righteous, pious attitude. You know, you've done nothing for me. This woman has not ceased, you know, to kiss my feet, and she lavished her love upon Jesus, poured out her best for him. And he said to her, your sins, which are many, are what? Forgiven. You're free to go. And yet the Pharisee, who probably thought he was closer to the kingdom, was actually farther away. I pray that God will give all of us proper perspective of the awfulness of sin and what it cost Jesus on the cross. It was because of our sin that Jesus died, that he suffered for us. He did it not because he was forced to, but because he willingly laid down his life for us. Because he loves you that much, that he was willing to pay the price that you and I deserve to pay. He went to the cross on our behalf. He demonstrated his love for us in the cross. God doesn't just tell you he loves you. He demonstrates it. You see, we need to do the same thing. We've got to quit telling God we love him and start demonstrating it. We tell him we love him, amen, but it should be backed up by the demonstration of our life now. Our devotion, our worship of him. We need to understand that all of us have sinned and fallen short. There's none righteous except through the righteousness of Christ. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, verse 39, he spoke to himself, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Do you know something? When there is love to the Lord, when there is love towards him, he is always quick to recognize it and confess it. Do you know that? When you love God, when you love the Lord, when you are truly grateful, when you are truly thankful for pardon, when you've received the mercy of God in your life, amen, then you will show love towards him. And as you show love towards him, he is quick to recognize love towards him. Are you hearing me? Because that's what he's looking for. He wants your love too. He loves you, but how many know a relationship has to be consensual? It has to be both ways here. But we love him because he first loved us. When you experience the forgiveness of his grace, you can't help but love Jesus and want to give back to him. And as you love him, he recognizes that and he confesses that to who? He confesses it to the Father. He takes note of those who love him. Who are those who love Jesus? Those who love Jesus are those who listen to his voice. Those who obey his commandments are those who love him. Those who will say, yes, Lord. In Hebrews 7 and 25, it says, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. When we confess him, folks, before men, what does he do? He confesses us. Matthew 10:32. Whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But he went on to say, those who deny me before men, I will also deny before my Father and the holy angels. When we're obedient to him, he honors us. John 12:26, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. When we worship him in song, when we give thanks to the Lord, he is present. Psalms 22:3, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. When God pardons us, folks, it's not a partial thing. It is a full pardon. Have you ever thought about that? You believe that? It's a full pardon? God says, okay, I'll let you partially off the hook here. When you forsake your sin, you turn to Him and you mean business and you're sincere in your heart, do you know that God hears you? He forgives you. The devil wants to rub your past in your face and say, you've done too much. It's been too bad. God's not going to forgive you. So you might as well just give up and quit trying to walk with Jesus. Amen. Just give in and do whatever feels right because you're going to hell anyways. Have you ever heard that voice? When God forgives you, when God pardons you, it is a complete pardon. He lets you out. Amen? You are in that cage on your way to execution. No hope except someone to redeem you. And here comes Jesus. He says, I'm going to take your place. You're free. And He goes and He's executed for you. That's pardon. When God pardons you, folks, you're pardoned. A lot of the problems we have is that we don't believe. We simply don't believe what God has done for us. If we don't believe what God has done for us, then we will not receive what God has done for us. If we don't believe what God has done for us, then we won't receive what God has done for us. If we don't really believe that Jesus paid the price for my sin on the cross, then I'm not going to receive His pardon. Why? Because unbelief will not stand before God. We have to believe what He says, and we have to, by faith, receive forgiveness. And when we come to Him and say, Lord, I believe that You died on the cross, and on the third day, You rose again from the dead. And if we believe, then it will be demonstrated in the way that we live. When you are pardoned, it will transform the way that you think, the way that you live. When you are truly pardoned, you will have nothing but gratitude and appreciation for the grace, the mercy that God has shown you in your life. And it is your joyful service, your reasonable service, to then offer back your bodies to Him, amen, and say, Lord, here am I. You saved me. You paid the price for me. Let me live for You now. That's what I'm doing, folks. I'm living for Jesus now. I lived for myself for many years. Now I'm tired of that. I'm tired of my way. I want His way. I'm tired of death. I want to live in life. Full pardon. Psalms 103:2, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Not only is it full, but it's free, folks. You can't earn it. Jesus paid the price. He bought us with His own blood. Amen? It's a free pardon. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay. When they had nothing with which to repay. It doesn't matter if you have a lot of sins or a little sin. Sin will put you in hell. We don't have anything to come before God with except help. Jesus, help me. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me, Lord. Those are the ones who are justified. And when they had nothing to which to repay, He freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love Him more, to whom much has been forgiven. And your pardon is also final. Hebrews 10:16 says, this is the covenant that I will make with them. And after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. When you are born again, you have the law of God written on your heart now. How many know what I'm talking about? It's something different. Amen. You're not the same person you used to be. You now have something written in your heart. Amen. The Spirit of God is there. And you know when you blow it. Amen. And you know when you're pleasing Him. Why? Because He put His conviction in our hearts. Amen. And we decided, hey, it's much better to follow Jesus. amen, than it is to follow my own way. And you know, sometimes we're stubborn. Sometimes we have to go the hard way. But either way, God's going to get our attention. Whether it comes through a whisper or through a roar, God's going to get our attention. Why? Because He loves us. And He's not willing that anyone should perish. There is no hope for those who try to save themselves. For those like the Pharisee who sat in their self-righteousness and thought, because there's more on the good side of the scale than the bad side of the scale, then I'm going to heaven. Are you hearing me? That's a lie of the devil. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We must be pardoned the same way the filthiest sinner in the world can be, and that is through the blood of Jesus. There's only one way. It's not through Buddha, it's not through Muhammad, it's not through any other. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. He is the life. He is the door. And if we enter in through the door, we shall find rest for our souls. We shall find refuge. We shall find the peace of God. Hallelujah. And know that what it is to have peace with God in our hearts and to have a life, hallelujah, that's worth living now, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. I've been pardoned. Have you? It's a final pardon. He says, their sins and their lawless deeds, listen, I will remember no more. We remember, but He doesn't. Who are you going to listen to? What voice are we going to listen to? If you listen to the wrong voice, you'll constantly be beat down and discouraged and defeated. If you're trying to save yourself by your own efforts, by your own works, you're going to lose the grace of God, that only His grace is able to sustain us. It's all about presence. It's all about walking in His presence. It's all about walking with Jesus. It's all about worshiping Jesus. Amen. Out of that intimacy, out of that relationship, will come righteous deeds. Amen. Will come a life of righteousness. Hallelujah. It's by listening to the right voice, listening to the voice of truth, listening to what's real. I've said this many times before, but I'll say it again. What I used to think was normal is now abnormal to me. And what the world thinks is abnormal is actually normal. Things have gotten shifted. Even in our society, the abnormal has now become normal, because our society has fallen away from God. I don't know about you, but I'd rather live normal. If you want to know what normal looks like, look at Jesus. He was the perfect man. How many want to be like Him, like Jesus? How many know that you're not going to become like Jesus by trying harder? You're going to become like Jesus because you behold Jesus. Because you're a worshiper of Jesus. Because you're like that woman at His feet. Amen? Worshiping Jesus. The Bible says, as we behold His glory, behold Him, we are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. You want to be like Jesus? You got to spend time with Him. Amen? If you've been married for any amount of time, you know the more time you spend together, the more you even start looking like each other. Have you ever heard that? Well, you guys look a lot alike. Some of you are saying, man, I hope not. No. Poor Heisuk. Pardon is the proof of love. Love is the proof of pardon. We will love folks when we're pardoned. When we're forgiven, it produces in us a heart of gratitude to where now I want to present myself back to God. Amen. To serve Him now. When we realize our sinfulness and what it cost Jesus, what He was willing to do for us, and that He took my place, the innocent one for the guilty. He paid the price that I deserve to pay. Then I want to serve Him. I want to receive that love. I want to receive that Jesus. Not the Jesus, amen, that beats you over the head with legalism and rules and laws and don'ts. But the Jesus that says, listen, I want to take you up into a higher place. I want to show you things from my perspective. I want to reveal to you what life really is. You're down here waddling around in the chicken yard, but I want you to come up here with me with eagles. Amen. We're going to soar, and I'm going to show you some things. I want to show you my kingdom. I want to share my kingdom with you. I want to share with you my purpose for your life. You have an eternal destiny that I have for you. And it's not an accident that you're here tonight. It's not a matter of do's and don'ts. It's a matter of relationship, of beholding Him, of knowing Him in intimacy. We are called the bride of Christ, the church. We are a spouse. We are in a time of waiting right now. The bridegroom, Jesus Christ, has gone away to prepare a place for us. He's gone back to the Father's house to prepare a place for His bride. And while He's away, the bride is to keep herself. Amen? Is to preserve herself for her husband, Jesus Christ. And He says, if I go away, then I will come again to you, and I will receive you. How many know He's not coming for a prostitute? Amen? He's not coming for a fornicator. He's coming for a bride that is pure. He's coming for a people who have been broken over their sins, who have realized their sinfulness, who have recognized that the only hope I have is at the feet of Jesus, worshiping Him, receiving His mercy, His forgiveness. Amen. He's coming for a people who are looking for Him. For those who look for Him shall He appear a second time without sin unto salvation. Let us watch and pray always, Jesus said, that you might be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. He's coming in clouds of glory. He's not coming to be spat upon. Amen? He's not coming to be misused and ridiculed and mocked and scorned and rejected and despised. He's not coming this time to allow men to pluck out His beard and to lay stripes on His back. This time, He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And He's going to roar from His holy temple. And He's going to come and He's going to put down all foolishness. And He Himself shall reign over all the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the day of the Lord and it's coming, folks. And it is time for the people of God to get right and to get ready, because the bridegroom is coming. Amen. And He's coming for a bride who has made herself ready, who has washed herself in the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And is spotless before Him. Not by our own works, not by our own righteousness, but His righteousness and what He has done for me. I receive His pardon. The sinful woman was an example to us that there's grace. It doesn't matter how bad it's been, how bad you are. You know, you hear people joke and they say, well, I ain't going to church. If I go to church, the church will collapse on you. You know, you ain't all that important. I'm sorry. You ain't all that. We're talking about the God of the universe, amen? Created everything. The cosmos, they're still discovering stuff that's going on and on and on and on. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and it's still going out. This mighty, awesome, unfathomable God became an invisible seed in the womb of a woman to redeem. That's how important we are to Him. That's how much He cares about us. How can you grasp that? How can you wrap your mind around that? All I know is that once I was lost, but now I'm found. Amen. Was blind, but now I see. And what I thought was normal is now abnormal. Amen. I'm like, what was I thinking? Well, I wasn't. Why? Because my eyes were blinded by the god of this world. His name is Satan. And people that worship Satan are foolish. Why? Because he hates them. He's promising them all kinds of goodies. Yeah, you can have it all now. But spend eternity in hell. Hell is a real place. Jesus spoke more about hell than He did heaven. It's a real place. And if you don't repent of your sins, you will go there. And there is no escaping hell. No one ever escapes hell. The rich man in Lazarus is an example of that. He, being in torments, could not come out of that place. And all he begged for was one drop of water to cool his tongue. You see, God did everything for us. He went all the way to the cross for us. If we refuse or reject his love, we will get what we want. That's eternal separation from him. You know why hell is hell? Because God is not there. That's why hell. You know where hell is? Hell is where Jesus is not. People say this world is hell. Folks, this is not hell. There's goodness. If you look for goodness, there's goodness in everything and every day. Amen? We see the results of hell, but we see heaven here too. We see God's goodness here too. Hell is being separated eternally from God. And no one escapes that place. Because when God seals the judgment, it is sealed. God has appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness through that man whom he has ordained. And he has given us assurance of this because he's raised him from the dead. That is Jesus Christ. He is the judge, and the judge is at the door, and he's coming, folks. And it's no time to play games. It's time to get ready. It's time to get your heart right. We need to be like that sinful woman, amen, at the feet of Jesus. Say, God, have mercy on me. Please forgive me. Lord, I don't want to go to hell. Lord, I want to be saved. Lord, I want my sins forgiven. I want my heart clean before you. I want to be clothed in your righteousness. I want to be ready for you. I want to be made beautiful for you, Lord. I know that I don't have what it takes to save me, so I'm asking you, Jesus, would you bow your heads tonight? Would you ask Jesus to save you? Would you ask Jesus to forgive you? Do you see Jesus on there? I want you just to picture Jesus on that cross for you, bleeding for you, paying the price for you. Will you receive this Jesus? Will you receive that Jesus? The Jesus that loves you that much. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. He's saying, if you will open your heart to him, if you allow him access, if you say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you in my heart. I want my sins forgiven, Lord. Please forgive me. Lord, I don't want to be guilt-ridden anymore. I don't want to be ashamed anymore. Lord, I don't want to live in regret anymore. Lord, I've blown it. I've broken your laws. I've broken your rules. I'm asking you, please, Jesus, forgive me. Please forgive me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Save me today. Give me your full pardon, Lord. I believe you died for me. And I believe you rose again on the third day for my justification so that I could be free. I want your full pardon, Lord. I receive you, Jesus, today. I receive you as my Savior. And Jesus says, you've got to do one more thing. You need to confess me before men. If you confess me before men, I will confess your name before the Father. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you. I don't know about you, but I decided to confess Jesus. Amen? And I do it joyfully. Jesus is my Lord. And you turn to someone tonight and say, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. I want you to know that Jesus is my Lord. I chose Jesus because I choose life. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. And when I love Jesus by telling people about Jesus. And when I tell people about Jesus, Jesus turns to the Father and says, Father, check them out. They're telling people about me. The Father says, okay, more love, more joy, more power, more of me, more of my love. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. I'm a believer tonight. I can tell you, I once was lost, but not anymore. I I know that my sins are forgiven. I know that my heart is right with God. And boy, does it feel good. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.